Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
I want to single out one player. I want to thank Patrice Bergeron, one of the greatest leaders and people I have ever met and played with. My longest teammate, my co-captain, Bergie, I can always count on you. You show me and help me to become a better leader, a player, but more importantly, a better person.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. We got headlines coming your way here in just a moment. We got the nightly news at 8:30. Got some Bill Belichick rumors floating around here. And, of course, 9 o'clock, we'll get back to the Patriots. We'll have the Arcan Fire and clickbait for you at 9:45. I'm excited for clickbait. It's a musical clickbait tonight, folks. You know those are the best. With that being said, you just heard Zdeno Chara during his Hall of Fame speech talking about Patrice Bergeron. Zdeno Chara headed to the Hall of Fame, and that leads us off for our headlines tonight.
These are the headlines.
Okay. Couple of Bruins headed to the Hall. That would be Zdeno Chara, who you just heard right there. Joe Thornton going in as well, along with Alexander Mogilny. And Duncan Keith, which is a nice class there, I'd say. Yeah, pretty nice class. And with all that, who else is going? Oh, a couple more, Jennifer Botterill and Brianna Decker, women's players going in. Jack Parker going in. A couple other people going in. But as far as the NHL players you're seeing, it's Chara, it's Keith, it's Mogilny. And it's Jumbo Joe Thornton. Now, I want to get to Thornton because I think he deserves his due for a tremendous career. I remember when he was first drafted, and now he's like this old man, this beard. It's weird. It's weird seeing a guy go from the beginning of his career to the end like that and play that long after being, you know, so good right away. But I want to talk a little bit about Chara, who is on a lot of lists considered one of the greatest free agent signings, not just in Bruins history. I think in Bruins history, that's an easy one right there. It's not a very long list when it comes to the Bruins. With the Bruins, you got Chara at the top, number one with a bullet. Number two, I'd say maybe is Tim Thomas. You got Mark Savard, Mark Recchi, you know, some other guys that you could throw in there. But that's about it. When it comes to the Bruins, it hasn't really been, you know, a lot of banner free agent signings that you look at and think, oh, yeah, wow, they've really had some great luck when it comes to that. They did with Chara. They certainly did with Chara. And you can put Chara up there with the best of all time, right? I mean, I don't think that that's a crazy thing to say. You got Chara, you got Niedermeyer with the Ducks, you got maybe Martin St. Louis with Tampa Bay, Marian Hossa to the Blackhawks there to play with Taves and what's his face there, Patrick Kane, and the incredible run that they went on after that. You go back a little bit to like Adam Graves signing with the Rangers in 91, Brett Hull with the Stars. You could say Bobrovsky getting signed by Florida, all of those. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that you'd put any of them ahead of Chara. I don't know that you do. And it's not as though Chara led them to this big dynasty where they won a million cups or anything like that. But in terms of what he became and like his game and what he turned into for that team and in that league, it's through the roof. I mean, really, just an all-timer, really. One of the all-time great free agent signings in the history of that whole league. And that's a league that when you go back, I mean, there was the regional district. You could only, you know, have players on your team if they were from a certain area. Like, that's why Montreal was so good for so long. That's where all the hockey players were. Like, it was a whole thing for a while. So it's not like there's this big, rich history of free agency in the NHL to go off of like there are in some other sports. But there is definitely a place for Chara when it comes to that, and it's among the top. It's among the tops in the history of the league. And props to him. What a tremendous career and a tremendous Bruin he was. I was hoping that he'd be able to finish his career in Boston. He didn't. It was very painful to see him go to the Capitals. I know he didn't do much there, but I was hoping that he'd be one of those guys that would end his career in Boston. He did not, but now he's back with the team, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. So good news there. Great to see. And as for Joe Thornton, I mean, I wouldn't say he's up there with the all-time great Bruins draft picks or anything. He's, you know, in the conversation just in terms of the career that he had. But, you know, I wouldn't put him ahead of, like, Bork or any of those guys, the draft picks that they made, the great ones, because he wasn't great. He was very good. He wasn't great, and not with the Bruins anyway. And he went on to have a great career. And he deserves to go into the Hall of Fame. I'm certainly not trying to say that he doesn't. But I do think that there's sort of a difference there. It wasn't until they kind of got out from the Joe Thornton era that they were really able to become the Bruins as we sort of have known them over the last 15 plus years. Like that's really it sort of took moving on from Joe and going on to the next phase and bringing up all the young kids and having them all grow up together at the same time, I think that ushered in this new era of Boston Bruins hockey that we've all, you know, grown so attached to. Speaking of which, the Bruins up 4-1 over Toronto. They just scored early in the second period now, really taking it to the Leafs here, and that's great to see. All right, let's get to our next headline.
These are the headlines.
All right, I guess we got to our first headline. I didn't even realize we hadn't played that yet. My bad. So here we go. That was the first one there was Thornton and the Hall of Fame in the NHL. Number two would be this. The Dallas Mavericks have fired GM Nico Harrison. Why? What happened? What did he do? This was made this morning. There was a meeting between Harrison and the governor of the team, Patrick Dumont, who released an open letter to the fans of the Dallas Mavericks, which is just an unbelievably tone-deaf thing, which I'll read here in just a second. But Dumont said in a statement, "This decision reflects our continued commitment to building a championship-caliber organization, one that delivers for our players, our partners, and most importantly, our fans." Assistant GMs Michael Finley and Matt Riccardi have been promoted to lead the Mavs basketball operations department on an interim basis. Harrison had been under fire from the Luka Doncic trade. That trade gave Dallas Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick in return. People were protesting. They were chanting, "Fire Nico." It was this whole thing. And really, if you think about it, to go from losing in the NBA Finals to trading Luka Doncic that next season, it was insane. It was insane that that happened. Insane to trade a guy in his 20s. Mid-20s, away to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, a 2029 first-round pick, and who was it, Max Christie, and think, yep, did my job. Just wild, really wild. At the time, we were trying to compare it to something. The only thing I could think was like Mookie Betts, like the Mookie Betts trade, maybe. But it was really the type of trade. The thing is, Nico Collins, he's obviously getting all the hate for it. Nico Collins, Nico Harrison, obviously getting all the hate for it. But that's not a trade that a GM just goes rogue and does on his own. That's a trade that has to be okayed by the higher-ups. That's a trade that has to be requested from the higher-ups. You don't just turn around and ship the face of the franchise out of town unless there is real legitimate support from the people upstairs. That's just not something that happens. I'm sorry, it's not. There had to be much more in motion than just Nico Harrison saying, hey, I think we should trade Luka Doncic. It's like, no, I don't buy that. I just don't. It's not like he was Mark Cuban here. It's not like he's someone that had a ton of pull and a ton of sway and was this my way or the highway type of GM with this long, long resume full of successes. Like, that's not who he was. It's not who he is. And I do kind of feel like he's taking the fall for this. Just in the same way kind of Chaim Bloom took the fall for the Mookie Betts trade. That wasn't a Chaim Bloom trade. Chaim Bloom probably didn't want to come in and trade Mookie Betts. He was told he had to. Now, as far as Luke is concerned, that organization in Dallas, they were really on top of him for a lot of things. Remember Michael Finley taking the beer away from him after they won the Western Conference champion? Like, they were pretty, I don't know, with him. Like, there was a real sense of, like, this guy's really walking on thin ice out here in Dallas, despite being, again, the face of their franchise and MVP, all-NBA type of player since he got there. I mean, really, since he first arrived, he's been that guy. And didn't really seem like, you know, yeah, doesn't play defense, sure. But he's a one-man army out there. And they moved on. And they got their first-round pick, and they got Cooper Flagg. And, you know, they're off to a dreadful start, are those Dallas Mavericks. Really off to a terrible, terrible start. They're 3-8. The only team with a worse record in the West are the Pelicans, who are 2-8. And there's a couple of one-win teams in the East. Brooklyn, Indiana, and the Washington Wizards are 1-9, 1-9, and 1-10, respectively. Nice start there for your Pacers. Jeez. You know, I thought that team would be a little bit better without Halliburton, but no, they are not. Making the Celtics look great by comparison. Anyways, Nico Harrison out in Dallas to the surprise of pretty much no one. And let's get to our next headline. And that would be a story that we've barely even touched on at all here, Joe, and that is the pitch rigging case in Major League Baseball, which I still can't really believe that this thing has happened the way that it has. If you're unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, it's not something that has gotten a ton of play around here just because it doesn't involve pitchers on this team, but it does involve guys who are pretty well-known relievers in the majors. And I'm talking, of course, about Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase, who took bribes to help their friends in the Dominican Republic win prop bets based on individual pitches that they threw. A U.S. magistrate judge named Donald Cabell in Boston granted Ortiz his release. They appeared in federal court yesterday, but with several conditions, including that he surrender his passport, restrict his travel to the Northeast, and post $500,000 bail. $50,000 of it secured. He was also ordered to avoid contact with anyone who could be viewed as a victim, a witness, or a co-defendant in the case. According to the indictment, Ortiz and Clase took several thousand dollars in payoffs to help two unnamed gamblers in their home country win at least $460,000 on bets placed in the speed and outcome of certain pitches, including some that landed in the dirt. So if you have seen this before, and I've bet this a few times, you know, not because I had inside information from Luis Ortiz or Emmanuel Clase or anybody else, but there are bets that you can make on all of the apps about how fast the first pitch is going to be. Is the first pitch going to be a strike, et cetera. And it's just one pitch. And they said, okay, well, no one's ever going to figure it out if we just throw a ball. It was basically what they were doing. And these are guys who are making good money in the major leagues, getting a couple thousand dollars in kickbacks here. Like, the scale of it is unbelievable. It really is. And I'm all for helping your friends, you know, like, but maybe instead of throwing the game, you cut your buddy a check. You know, maybe you do that. Maybe you say, hey, you know, I'm not going to go out there and give you some inside information and throw a pitch a certain way and have all my friends bet all this money on it and set all these alarms off, because everyone's freaking out. Well, what else is activity coming on? How fast the first pitch of the game is going to be? It must be something going on there. No. How about I just cut you a check? All right, I'm making lots of money. I'll cut you a check. How's that sound? Instead, they're risking decades in prison. I mean, this is crazy. Clase, the Guardians closer, and Ortiz, a starter, have been on non-disciplinary paid leave since July, when Major League Baseball started investigating what it said was high in-game betting activity when those two pitched. Some of the games in question were in April, May, and June. Ortiz was arrested by the FBI at Logan, Logan Airport here, Clause A, is believed to be outside the U.S. The official was not authorized to speak publicly, but said that that is where he is. It was on the condition of anonymity. Ortiz and Clause A, according to U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella, said they betrayed baseball, America's pastime. Integrity, honesty, and fair play are part of the DNA of pro sports. When corruption infiltrates the sport, it brings disgrace. Disgrace! Not only to the participants, but damages the public trust in an institution that is vital and dear to all of us. Ortiz's lawyer said in a statement, his client is innocent. He has never and would never improperly influence a game, not for anyone and not for anything. Let's hope not. Because honestly, what he was standing to get in a kickback for this, as opposed to what he was risking in terms of his career and his freedom and everything else, it's just, it's incredible. I mean, it
that
really
was
is.
A disgraceful performance.
It was. You know who used to say things were a disgrace a lot? Pete Shepard. He would say, it was very bad. That's a disgrace. I remember working with him. That was a big word for him, disgrace. He loved calling things a disgrace. Ortiz's defense team documented for prosecutors that the payments and money transfers between him and individuals in the DR were for legal activities. Major League Baseball said it contacted federal law enforcement when it began investigating unusual betting activity and has fully cooperated with authorities. And that's really the big thing here. That's what ended up getting Rozier. That's what ended up getting all these guys, is when everybody knows about it and everybody starts betting that this one particular guy is going to throw one particular pitch and we all manage to hit on it at the exact same time. Of course, there's algorithms. There's all sorts of AI. They're going to flag that and they're going to look into it. How dumb can you be? I mean, you know, like, I'm sure that there are times when a lot of people bet on something because they know it's a trend. They know Garrett Crochet is going to throw a fastball to start the game because he always does. So they bet on that and they bet it's going to be, you know, over whatever the over-under is. And a lot of times, I'm sure it was, but not every time. And it was never bet enough that it raised the suspicion of these, or maybe it was, I don't know, who knows? I have no idea. I really don't. All I know is that they ended up nailing these two guys. And if it's happening in any other sort of, if it's happening on any sort of scale beyond just what their normal betting numbers are for those types of things, they know how many people bet on the first pitch. They know how many people bet on pitch-by-pitch stuff in baseball and how often those bets hit and, you know, how often you get the action on that. And if you get a huge spike in it, yes, obviously they're going to think something's fishy. I just can't believe that anybody would be willing to risk their career for a couple $1,000 to help out some guy in the DR when they easily could have just written the guy a check and been completely fine. You know, just that's it. That's all you had to do. You're trying to help somebody out? Help him out. Why would you put your career and your freedom on the line for that? Absolutely incredible stuff here. It really, really is. And we'll see. We'll see what comes of this. But, you know, there was one of these games with Clause A was a with a Red Sox game. In one example cited in the indictment, Clause A invited a bettor to a game against the Red Sox in April, spoke with him by phone just before taking the mound. 4 minutes later, the bettor and his associates won $11,000 on a wager that he would toss a certain pitch slower than 97.95 miles per hour. Like, you think maybe they noticed that? You guys think so? You think maybe that's one of those things that they're going to flag and look at and maybe just take a little bit of a peek in there and see who's betting on it and why so many people suddenly decided to bet on this one pitch? Like, you know, and now Major League Baseball and the books are going to scale back some of the individual pitch bets because they say it's too easy to manipulate. But again, you know, you can't get it done unless there's willing participants. And there were clearly willing participants here willing to put their career on the line and their freedom on the line, which I think is wild. I really, really do. Anyway, there you go. There's your headlines here at 8 o'clock. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Here's Joe Braverman. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we have your New England Nightly News.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you. at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Quick follow-up here on that story. The Emmanuel Clase, Luis Ortiz gambling story. This was a tweet I saw get some traction today. I think I saw Lucy Burge retweet it. From Master Flip, guy who covers the Mets on X. He has a check mark, but out of the check mark doesn't mean anything anymore. So I don't know if this is legit or not. Breaking news, there's a graphic and everything. And I saw this has been retweeted a lot. And has not been debunked as far as I know. And that is, in an interview held by director of CDN Deportes, Frank Camillo, reporter Luis Hernandez, a good friend of Emmanuel Clase, affirms that Clase has stated that the calls intercepted by the FBI were for rooster fighting, also known as cockfighting, and not related to illegal bets. Whoops. Clase remains in the Dominican Republic. He's currently not in custody. But they're coming for him. They're coming for him. They got him. They got him dead to rights. And it's funny, if that's true, that they weren't even really investigating him for throwing pitches a certain spear, whatever it was. They were looking into him for cockfighting, and then that happened to pop up in the wiretaps or whatever it is that they were doing. That's pretty funny. Yes, Jeff.
I was just going to ask. Both are bad, but optically, between the NBA rigging of the poker games and this, with the two Cleveland pitchers, which one do you think looks worse?
Well, with the NBA, it was more than just the poker game. The poker game was obviously bad. But that was people who were coming and playing in an illegal poker game to begin with. So I have a little less sympathy for them. When it comes to Terry Rozier shaving points and, you know, leaving the game and doing all that stuff, I'd say that's right on the level with this. It's not exactly the same. These were just individual pitches, right? This pitch is going to be in the dirt, or this pitch is going to be a ball, or this pitch is going to be under 98 miles an hour, whatever the hell the bet was for one pitch. Now, one pitch can mean a lot in a game. Sure, it certainly can. But it doesn't have the same. One pitch doesn't have the same impact as one player out of 10 on the floor shaving points, turning the ball over on purpose, missing shots on purpose, etc., which is what Rozier was doing and probably other people have been doing as well. We just don't know about it yet because they're not getting tons and tons of people to bet on it and setting off all the alarms on the gambling sites. So if I had to pick one over the other, I'd say Rozier is worse between the two, but they're all pretty bad. I mean, it's all pretty bad. As far as the poker games go, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how bad I'm supposed to feel for these people who are like, yeah, I'm going to go play in this illegal poker game. If you're going and playing in an illegal poker game, you know, you're putting it, you're trusting people that you don't really know, right? Oh, well, Chauncey Billups is going to be there. Won't that be cool? Yeah, great. Okay. So because Chauncey Billups is going to be there, I'm going to go lose my money to Chauncey Billups. I don't know. I mean, it seems like that whole thing. It's probably because I never get invited to cool poker games. The only poker games I ever got invited to were like my friends in college. We were all in college during the big ESPN poker boom with Chris Moneymaker and Phil Hellmuth and all those guys. And we'd go to these. I went to college in Colorado. We'd drive up to this place called Blackhawk, which is up in the mountains. It's this these Indian casinos up there. And we'd go up there and we'd go into their poker rooms and we'd play, you know, $5, $10 poker. And we didn't have enough money even to be doing this. But we'd go up there and we'd play because poker was just so hot. And then we'd get, you know, friends would come over, we'd play cash games, things like that. You know, you'd go with people you know. You go to a poker room full of strangers, you don't know what's going to happen. And there's no regulation there. You can't, what are you going to call the police? That's like calling the police and saying, hey, my drug dealer ripped me off. Like, well, yeah, you were buying drugs. What do you think? Yeah, you're playing an illegal poker game. What do you think? You think there's recourse for you? There isn't. But when it comes to that sort of thing, when it comes to shaving points, when it comes to manipulating an outcome in a sporting event, that's obviously a very, very different thing. And with that being said, it's 8:30, so let's get to our New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
All right, we got some big, 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 big news here today. A massive headline. The type of headline that you tear out the front page. If you're the New Hampshire Union leader, Manchester Union leader. Is it New Hampshire Union leader or the Manchester Union leader? I don't even remember. I think it's just the Union leader. Anyway, if you're the Nashua Telegraph, the Union leader, the Laconia Daily Sun, whatever it is that you may be up there, you tear out this headline when you find out that Market Basket is brewing their own beer.
Fans of Market Basket can now crack open a cold beer featuring their favorite grocery store.
He's over there laughing. Zero Gravity Beer in Burlington, Vermont has created this Market Basket lager. It's a
lager area.
Sorry, I don't know.
She's not a beer person.
I don't drink beer. I know nothing about beer. It's available at 33 locations here in New Hampshire as a 12-pack is $12.99.
More for your dollar.
More for your dollar. There you go.
Okay, so if you didn't already know, there is a new beer on the market, and it is the Market Basket beer. What am I looking at?
Zach's got the lager up on Twitch.
There we have it right there.
If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEI.
If you're looking on Twitch, you can see it right there. It's a nice-looking box. Pause. It says Market Basket, more for your dollar. New light lager that they got. And I'm a little on the fence about this. As you got, you know, Market Basket, which I think is a very fine grocery store. But I'm also team RDT. And when he got fired in October, when they pushed him out, when the sisters all pushed him out, I decided that's it for me in Market Basket. I'm team RD. But I'll tell you what, this is definitely, like, you know how in the cartoons you see, like a pie out on the windowsill and then the flavor comes out and you see someone like float to the windowsill because the pie smells so good. Like, this is me floating back to Market Basket because that beer looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. And I think I got to try it. And Market Basket, I mean, it's still a good grocery store. I don't want to besmirch Market Basket or anything like that. I just thought my guy Arthur got done dirty. Well, and I'm not alone either. A lot of people thought that. And his employees all love them too. So, you know, I mean, it's a whole thing. And I don't want to get involved in it. I do want to say, though, that's a nice looking beer. I like the fact that the Vermont company jumped in on it. I like the fact that there's sort of this like novelty beer getting made. I remember there were a lot of different types of beer. Like I'm from the era of Bud Ice, which I don't think they make anymore. I remember Red Dog. Remember Red Dog? I just turned, I think, like 19 or 20 when Red Dog went out of business. But that was one. There are a lot of weird beers out there you can get. A lot of weird novelty beers that you can get. Some of them gross. Like, really gross. There is a beer made from Sriracha called Rogue Sriracha Hot Stout. I've never tried it, but it sounds awful. There is a beer made in Iceland that is made with sheep dung smoked whale testicles. Yeah. Yeah, it's called HVALUR2, Valur 2, Holler 2, I don't know how to pronounce that, I'm not from Iceland, but that's a real beer. There is a beer brewed in Pacific Brewing Laboratory in San Francisco made out of squid ink, has other stuff in it too, but squid ink is a flavor. There is a pig porter brewed in Michigan. Kind of tastes like a big charcuterie board. And there's a lot of like peanut butter beers and chocolate stouts and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. There was a big, like, the whole craft beer revolution was really a big deal in a lot of places. Like, it wasn't, you know, it started off sort of with, I'd say probably one of the pioneers around here was Sam Adams, honestly. They put out all these different flavors, all these different type of craft brew, and they were a main, it was sort of at the time, people were moving away from the main beers, you know, your Budweiser and your Miller Lights and your Sam Adams and all of that, and moving to sort of the small ones. And the smaller breweries ended up becoming really popular, and they'd get expanded and, you know, eventually bought out by Anheuser-Busch. You know, I remember Goose Island and a bunch of those, they ended up getting bought. But then that became sort of this thing. If you were this under the radar kind of beer, you know, the bars all wanted to bring you in. They wanted to have beer that wasn't on every other menu, and there was all these different ones. All of a sudden, these co-ops started popping up everywhere where different people would use a certain brewery and they'd brew their own beer. I mean, it was nonstop. It diluted the market so much that, you know, a lot of the, even when it was at the peak of its popularity, a lot of the breweries started going under just because they couldn't keep up with all the competition. And that was too bad. I thought that was a fun time, especially if you were in the bar industry, because there were all these people coming around all the time. Here, try this. They give you a six-pack. They'd be like, here, try our new thing. Like, yeah, sure, we'll try it. And you end up going home. You have a full fridge full of beers just from these little breweries trying to get it out to the bars. It was great. It was nice. I didn't have to pay for beer for like 5 years. I always had a full fridge and never had to go to the store. It was great. But yeah, it's definitely chilled out a little bit now. But I am glad to see that Market Basket is getting in the game here. And I hope they sell a lot of that beer because it looks pretty good. All right, let's get to our next nightly news headline. And that would be from an article I saw about best places to have Thanksgiving. If you don't know, there is a website called Wallet Hub. And Wallet Hub comes up with these lists every couple of weeks or so. And it's they have their reasons for the list. They have their parameters for what they vote on. But this one is Thanksgiving and the best places to have Thanksgiving, the best places to go for Thanksgiving. And here's what they say. Even though Thanksgiving is centered on family and gratefulness,
parameters,
it's become a highly commercialized holiday. For example, consumers spent $235 per person on gifts during the five-day period between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday last year to help Americans find the best places for gobbling up the Thanksgiving festivities. Wallet Hub compared the 100 largest cities based on 18 key metrics. Our data set ranges from the cost of Thanksgiving dinner, share of delayed flights, volunteer opportunities per capita, and forecasted rain. So they have all that stuff sort of here. And here's what they came up with. Top five places to go for Thanksgiving. Number one, San Antonio, Texas. Number two, Atlanta, Georgia. Number three, Virginia Beach, Virginia, which I believe is where Nick Cattles is. So we'll go hang out with Cattles on Thanksgiving this year. Dallas, Texas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. And it takes a while before you get to a place in New England. A lot of Texas on this list. Number six is Irving, Texas. Number seven is Plano, Texas. Number eight, Louisville, Kentucky. Number nine, Las Vegas. Las Vegas for Thanksgiving? That sounds interesting. It's a lot to be thankful for in Thanksgiving until you lose all your money. Chesapeake, Virginia. Moore, Texas. Corpus Christi. Houston. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Cincinnati, Ohio. 15th, Washington, D.C. Austin, Texas. San Diego, California, and then clocking in at number 18, the only representative from New England on the entire list, that would be Boston, Massachusetts, the hub of the universe. Coming in at 18, just ahead of New York City, Miami, and another place in Texas. Why is Texas so great for Thanksgiving? They love Thanksgiving in Texas. It's unbelievable. Maybe because it doesn't rain there, I guess. I don't know. That's what I like. I like bad weather on Thanksgiving. You go to one of those Turkey Bowl games. Maybe that's part of it, too. Texas, you know they go crazy in the Turkey Bowl in Texas. High school football in Texas, that's a big deal. Maybe that's part of it. I love going to Turkey Bowl games. This past year, I took George to see Denham play. Oh, God, now I can't remember. Was it Westwood or Norwood? I forget who they play on Turkey on Thanksgiving. But we went to the game, and it was dumping rain. Oh, it was nasty out there. But we had a great time. I remember my dad taking me to Wellesley Natick when I was a kid and checking those out. That was fun. And it's a great holiday no matter what. But, yeah, 18, Boston. and every single part of Texas in between that. And it got me thinking, are there any specific New England Thanksgiving traditions? Things that you think of when you think of New England Thanksgiving? I've only really had New England Thanksgivings. So I don't know that these are all, you know, like they all just sort of seem normal to me. But you got, you know, your pumpkin squash. You got your cranberries. It's about it. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the cranberries are maybe a little local. Dedham Norwood. Thank you very much. Not Westwood. I knew it was one of the woods. I've only lived in Dedham for a couple of years. I'm still learning the ropes. But, yeah, I feel like New England, it's very agricultural with their stuff, you know, with the squashes, the palm of the cranberries. Acorn squash, butternut squash. You got your pumpkin pie. I feel like, I don't know, people drink, like, hard cider, hot cider at Thanksgiving. It depends. If it's cold out, you do. But mostly Thanksgivings at my house, we're just drinking beers. Drinking beers, the ladies are drinking wine. Everybody's having a good time. And then everybody sits on the couch and farts their turkey farts into the couch and then passes out watching football, and that's the way it goes. And that's, you know, that's Thanksgiving. And I wonder why that's so much different in Texas. I guess they, you know, I guess they just got cheaper turkeys out there. Anyways, there you go. Boston in the top 20, the only representation in all of New England, which I think is a mistake because up in Meredith, New Hampshire, you got your Hart's Turkey Farm. And if you've been up there, you know that place is basically, I mean, built for Thanksgiving. Hart's Turkey Farm, you go there for, I've never been there for Thanksgiving. But that is a place that I would absolutely, I've been there not at Thanksgiving dozens of times. It's been there forever. My aunt used to work there back when they used to have the actual farm up behind the place. And it was just like a little diner. Like that was, yeah, Hart's Turkey Farm. When I think of Thanksgiving in New England, I think of Hart's Turkey Farm, even though I've never actually been there for Thanksgiving. And there you go. There's your New England Nightly News. A new beer at Market Basket. And Boston making the top 20 places to go for Thanksgiving.
You can drink the new lager beer at your Thanksgiving in Boston.
I think I may have to. Should be fun. A couple of years ago, Jones Mego and I had a huge fight about Thanksgiving. And the definition of hosting people at Thanksgiving. Let me ask you this real quick. Do you remember this, Joe?
I remember this, yes.
I couldn't believe it. I thought I was hosting a show with two aliens who didn't understand what words meant. Like, it was incredible. I told them that, yeah, we're having people over to the house. We're hosting Thanksgiving this year. My brother-in-law, who is a chef, a very, very good chef. He's been, you know, at various places all throughout New England, worked in all these places, is a top-of-the-line chef in our family. Cook the food. And their contention was then, since I personally wasn't cooking the food, that I wasn't actually hosting, even though everybody was coming to my house, which is not what hosting is. Hosting means what I was doing. Like, I had people over, they were inside my house, I hosted them at my house. Someone else cooked the food because he was the clear superior food cooker of the group. So he came over, he cooked the food. My mother-in-law did as well. And they did that, but we hosted because it was in our house. And I swear to God, it was like with Jones and Mega, it was like I was speaking Japanese. They just couldn't understand that that's what hosting means. And that is what hosting means. It means having people over. It doesn't mean cooking for them. It doesn't mean doing anything else other than having them inside your home. And the two of them, they just didn't, they could not understand it. I think they were just trying to like make me mad, and they did. I yelled at them a lot anyway. Haven't noticed, I'm kind of a yeller. But yeah, that was one where I would show up for work. I'd go in, I'd look at her and I'd be like, do you guys not understand? Like, do you want me to get you a dictionary? Like, I read them the definition of what hosting meant. Still nothing. Just, you know, just like two blank slates. Just could not figure it out. Anyway, we're hosting again this year and I'm not cooking. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, the New York Giants have fired their head coach. And the Belichick rumors have started up already. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Do you think that there could be legitimate traction for Bill Belichick getting back into the NFL with the New York Giants?
You have to be able to sell the fans on a plan for the future. And bringing in a then 73-year-old coach who, since 2019, has made disastrous decision after disastrous decision, whether it be drafts or with his own coaching staff, would not really sell people in Gotham on the perspective of this guy's going to be a great for the next decade.
The Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. Tommy Curran on Early Edition asked the question about New York football Giants, Big Blue. They fire Brian Daboll. They got their interim head coach now. What are they going to do next? Well, hey, you know, always Bill Belichick. I don't think this one's going to last too long. I don't think this is going to be one of those long, drawn-out rumors that persist very long. I'd imagine there's going to be either some kind of statement. Belichick's already made a statement. He had his news conference today in Chapel Hill. Belichick was asked what his message was to the team, given the speculation about the Giants' job opening. Bill, in typical Bill fashion, said, "Getting ready for Wake Forest, that's all I got this week." As a follow-up, Belichick was asked whether players or recruits have inquired about the speculation that began after the Giants fired Daboll. And Belichick said, "I've been asked about it from time to time. Look, I've been down this road before. I'm focused on Wake Forest. That's it. That's my commitment to this team. This week it's Wake Forest. Next week it's that opponent and so forth. I'm here to do the best for the team." I've been down this road before. Have you? Have some other team? Has there been rumors about you going to some other team? I'd miss that if you did. The Titans fired their head coach. Was there any rumors about Bill going to Tennessee? I don't remember that. I don't remember hearing about that, if there was. There was one great opportunity for Bill Belichick, I think, and that was to go to Dallas. If he had gone to Dallas after they had fired McCarthy, then I think that you might have been onto something there. But he chose to stick with him. He chose to stick with Mike out there in Jerry World. And, you know, I mean, that was his call. But here we are. Bill Belichick will not be coaching the Giants. For the reasons that Kern gave you right there, that's a team that's rebuilding. Bill Belichick is 73 years old. And then there's the little matter of the fact that Bill Belichick has been a huge embarrassment since he got to UNC. And really, I mean, before that, it's been, I know that they've been better lately and they've been playing better lately. UNC has, for sure. Okay. No question about it. They've looked better. They beat Stanford. They beat Syracuse. They almost beat Virginia, which is honestly more impressive than those last two wins. The fact that they went to overtime against a ranked team, in conference or not, that's a huge step forward. That was a big step forward for Bill. You can say these past 3 weeks have been, you know, as good as you could have hoped for a guy at the end of this season. And there's Duke and NC State after that. But Wake Forest coming up here, they're going to be getting together with them on Saturday. And if Bill is interested in the Giants job, I would imagine that any type of overtures that get made through very, very layered back channels, right? You're not going to be getting the call from Bill Bell. You'll be getting the call maybe from, I don't know, an assistant to Mike Lombardi or something like that, something along those lines. If there's any sort of outreach whatsoever. But if I'm Bill they know your number. The Giants know your number. If they don't call them, they'll call you if they're interested. And I can't imagine that they or any other NFL team right now is interested in the head coaching services of Bill Belichick. I just can't imagine that. I can't imagine that that's at the forefront of anyone's mind. These last three games notwithstanding, it has been an abject disaster for him in North Carolina, both personally and professionally, right? Can we all agree on that at least? I'm not even saying this to rip the guy or say that his...
talking about this.
Okay, Jordan, but you know, that or that his legacy is something else or whatever. His legacy is bulletproof. I don't think anything's ever going to ruin it or take away from it or anything else. This has been a tough end to his career, sure, but it doesn't erase what he did in the 20 years in New England, no way, or what he did as a coordinator with the Giants or any of the other great accomplishments that he's had over his long career as in football, of course. But it has certainly, I think, put a real damper on his future job prospects, wouldn't you say? They're not going to hire Bill Belichick. No one's going to hire Bill Belichick. There's no way. I don't think there's any possible way that that would happen. Unless it's like a Rob Gronkowski one-day contract type of thing so he can retire as the head coach of the Giants and then they actually hire a real head coach. You know, something weird like that. Maybe. Even that would make little sense.
It's going to be epic, man.
I'm glad Gronk's doing that, by the way. I wonder if he said that one of his friends who passed away was like their dying wish that he retire as a Patriot.
It was when he was opening up the playground
right
when you enter Storrow Drive.
Mm-hmm. And I remember him mentioning that at the time and thinking, is he actually going to do it, though? He's actually doing it. And that's cool. I don't have any problem with that. I think it's a little weird in the sense that he was more loyal, it seemed like, to Tom Brady than he was to the Patriots. But either way, you know, he only wanted to have Tom Brady as his quarterback. He was not willing to suffer through the... You know, the Mac Jones or the Cam Newton years or any of that stuff, and they left before that even happened. He left while Brady was still playing. That's how much he didn't want to play for Bill anymore. That's how much he didn't want to be on the Patriots anymore. So I find that a little interesting. You know, I just find that kind of strange. But either way, I think it's cool that it's happening, and I think there is less than zero chance that Bill Belichick ends up as the head coach of the Giants, which, with my betting record lately, could certainly make it a possibility. Yes,
they sir. Also threw out another name, potentially Josh McDaniels.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Do you think if they offered it, he would take it?
That's a good question. I heard Curran today would not commit to an answer on that, and he knows Josh McDaniels certainly better than I do. Andy Hart probably would know better than I would about that as well. My instinct is to say a head coaching job. Would he say no to a head coaching job? Probably not. It's a lot of money. you know, well, he's already had a head coaching job. Right. But if there's someone, it's, we live in a capitalist society, do we not? If there's someone out there willing to pay you more money to do a certain job than the money that you're making, then this is how it works, you know? Like, and it's not like he'd be going halfway around the world or anything, or even across the country. He'd be going 3 hours, 4 hours to the south. And he'd still be, wouldn't be in Westwood anymore or wherever, but like he'd be nearby. It wouldn't uproot him and his family that much as it would be if he went to Seattle or something, you know? I mean, that would be obviously very different, or Vegas or wherever. I mean, places he's already been. But, you know, like that, if they asked him, do I think he'd say yes? I mean, yeah, I do. I do. I don't see him turning that down. As much as he likes it here and as much as he's experienced success as an offensive coordinator, you know a big reason why? Because if he did and he failed, he should know that he'll always be able to come back to New England, because that's what happened the last few times. I'm going to go to New York. If it doesn't work out, can I come back, be the OC? Sure, yeah, right. Why not? It always works out here. Are you worried maybe he's going to leave? Sure, but when he's here, he gets results. And he's getting results right now. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he stays with Drake May for a couple more years. But if the Giants offer him a head coaching position and a head coaching paycheck, what do you think? He's not going to say no? I don't know. I don't think so. And I don't know him at all. I'm just thinking, you know, basic common sense here. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will reset on our main story of the day. That is the Patriots, the Mike Vrabel system. The Vegas odds not moving. The market freezing up here with the Patriots, 11th in Super Bowl odds. Meanwhile, they got the number one MVP and the number one coach of the year, according to the odds for those two awards, and yet still down outside the top 10 when it comes to Super Bowl odds. We'll examine that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencias. Selección varía por lugar.